Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all today. Always a blast to be here. And we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing me to be here with you all today. So you can go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. You'll find out more about the Silk or Joe Show and find out about the Alan Nathan Show up there as well, which I host pretty frequently. It's all at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You'll find podcasts for both programs up there as well. Again, mainstreetradionetwork.com. And then let's not forget alannathan.com for just the Alan Nathan Show, just podcasts for that. Also, articles, op-eds, and columns that the late Alan Nathan had written throughout his lifetime. And we are on social media, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio, and X at Alan Nathan, in case you want to see if I'm hosting the show that day or not. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Well, there has been an upset to the rightward shift in the world. I mean, first of all, we're going to see something like that here, no doubt, in the U.S., but this is a kind of a warning about what will happen if you don't take voter fraud seriously. So, in England, their far left party has just stolen an election because they allowed Muslims to illegally violate election law. No one cares, though, because, I mean, they're Muslims. Why not? They allowed rape gangs. Millions of British girls were raped over the years. You know, all these people freaking out over the Epstein list, they were silent on this because it was Muslims doing it. I guess the Epstein list, you know, that's something everybody who feels they need to remain silent when Muslim rapes their daughter, oh, now I can actually complain about it happening and, you know, vicariously maybe get a little forgiveness in myself for being silent on this other very important issue. I mean, how many... Can we really say that Epstein did a million girls over the years, right? And can we really say he influenced, hurt a million girls, I should say, over the years, right? Versus these rape gangs in England that did a million girls over the years. They did influence and hurt and rape a million girls over the years, right? But people were silent about that issue because of racism. So I guess maybe they feel like they can get some absolvement if they go after Epstein with extra vigor. But what's a little voter fraud compared to that, right? What's a little voter fraud compared to doing that? So we have to look out for that here. But the Republicans in the U.S., they don't seem to be that keen on looking out for voter fraud, do they? They really, the SAVE Act, we were just learned earlier this week that several Republican senators, the ones who really shouldn't be in office anymore, the ones who the party has been diverting funds to during the campaigns, like back in 2022, that don't actually deliver for the Republican agenda, but they're the ones in charge of the Republican Party in the Senate. You know, Mitch McConnell may have stepped down, but, you know, that's like a Nancy Pelosi stepping down, right? Had he really stepped down, or is he still kind of pulling the strings? And certainly he has some sway going on in there. And you have to wonder, too, how much voter fraud is going on in these people's home states that are keeping them in office, right? Why would you oppose voter ID? Why would you fight so hard to oppose it unless you're benefiting from it, from a lack of voter ID? Makes sense that way, but that's what we get for these Republicans here. The just absolutely terrible leadership that the GOP has had over the years, and unfortunately, it interferes with the Trump agenda, first of all. Like, Trump is the politician who's getting stuff done on the Republican side. The Republicans aren't. You know, Republicans in the House, they kind of got some stuff passed, finally. SAVE Act, and then they got that tax reform, and... did they get anything else? Let's search our memories. That seems to be about it. They got shutdowns. But then the stuff comes over to the Senate. Okay, you get the tax reform that is now permanently established. And that's it. SAVE Act goes to die in the Senate. And there goes the great Republicans' legislative triumphs right there. You know, they were promising so much when they got back into office. Oh boy, if we win in 2024, look at all these things we'll do for you. Look at all this great stuff. Oh, look, we won in 2024. Guess we're not going to do anything. Guess that means we don't have to do anything anymore. We'll just sit on our thumbs and do nothing, which will get us clobbered in the midterms. But I don't think they care. And I think you've got those four politicians or so, the ones who are holding everything up, they don't care. They know that they will have their seat no matter what. They're protected. they don't give a rat's butt about anything. They don't care about you. They don't care about their own voters. They just know that they have job security, and they don't have to do anything for it. And perhaps they fear the SAVE Act so much because it is part and parcel of that job security. And they might actually be benefiting from the corruption that the Trump administration is going after. No wonder we didn't get any DOGE reforms enshrined in Congress, because that's where it needs to happen. You know, anything Trump does is temporary until Congress acts. So Trump is doing a lot. Trump is doing more than any president has done. He is doing a great job, except for the pardons. Some of them were a little scummy. But other than that, he's been doing a great job, doing the best he can with the resources he has at his availability. And if anyone is to look down badly on the Trump administration, aside from those pardons, at this point, if today he were to say, you know, I quit, I've done everything I can, I quit, then the pardons would be the only blemish on his record that is related directly to him. And when I say the pardons, there's like, I only mean like four or five of them. He's done like over 1,500, but only like four or five are questionable. But aside from that, you know, people are just going to look at his record if he were to quit today and say, you know, he did the best he could. And history would remember the Republican Party itself as being unfavorable and not being cooperative in his efforts. And that's exactly how it was in his first term. And, you know, maybe perhaps some of those pardons, too, were attributable to the reason why Trump wasn't so successful in his first term. He picked people who allegedly were Republicans, allegedly were anti-corruption, allegedly were not part of the swamp, who turned out to be deep swamp operatives. And it was just poor judgment choice on his part. But then again, some of those people we didn't even know were swamp creatures until they got into power and suddenly like, oh, I can see that now. I mean, look at John Bolton. You know, he was an old friend of the Al Nathan show. He was such a great person. Alan wanted him on all the time. And then, and we didn't have him on all the time, mind you. Alan wanted him on all the time. But then suddenly he gets into the Trump administration. It's like, oh, wow, look at your character now. Dang. You want a war everywhere, don't you? And then he gets fired. So, like, everyone is entitled to make a bad judgment call or two, right? Or three or four or five. And, you know, it's hard to tell with some of these people, like I said. And certainly Trump has a weakness with people who flatter him a little too much. So, you know, so those pardons and much of his first term, it could be attributable to that. I'm not, you know, absolving him of anything. I'm not saying that those pardons were entirely uncorrupted, mind you. I'm just saying that's a possibility. However, this leads back to the reason why that it is a possibility that he just had bad advisors on there, and that is the Republican Party and just how rotten to the core it is, how terrible it is, and how it's not serving the interests of its voters, and it seems to have no intention to. And that has been the case for 10 years now. Remember, 10 years ago, they got a bigger majority in Congress than they do now, and they did nothing with it. They gave you that one tax bill that they finally reaffirmed. You know, it's like a greatest hits or something. It's like, one hit wonder right there. We got this tax reform bill. Oh, we're coming back into power after 4 years after we got clobbered in the questionable 2020 elections. Oh, let's do it again. Let's just sing that same old song again, because the tax reform was going to expire. Let's just sing that same old song again, expect it to carry us in the midterms and do nothing else. It seems like they want to lose, which actually seemed to be the case in 2022. And the reason they wanted to lose then probably is the same reason they want to lose now. The anti-corruption wing of the Republican Party, they don't want that to get power. Corruption is their bread and butter. You know, the same stuff that's allowing $10 billion of Somali fraud, you're rather naive if you don't think that there's Republicans taking advantage of this kind of fraudulent behavior. And certainly some of these swamp creatures like Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, and the other ones who voted against the SAVE Act, it didn't come up for the vote, the ones who signaled they would not support the SAVE Act, yeah, those guys, Susan Collins, those guys definitely have something that they're up to, that they're afraid of, that they don't want this thing passed for. What is it? There needs to be some investigations of them. Someone needs to look into their records. Someone needs to look into what's going on in their states. Who has been donating to them? Where's that money coming from? What kind of fraud are they partaking in? It seems to be the only logical conclusion as to why they'd oppose the Trump movement so much. Either that or they just it's just a sort of Trump derangement syndrome. Well, not exactly Trump derangement syndrome. It's just that they feel if they can derail Trump's agenda, they can regain power later, even though everyone knows that they're the ones who are derailing the agenda. Because then they get to say, oh, look, Trump stuff didn't work. We're still the same place we were years ago. You should have just voted for us all along. You should have just kept us in power all along. Maybe they don't get their corruption from Somali fraudsters. Maybe they get their corruption from lucrative arrangements with lobbyists. And they want to keep those arrangements. And they know that if the swamp were to be drained, hypothetically, that arrangement with lobbyists would be out the window. So stuff like the SAVE Act, you know, anything that makes Trump look good, they have to be opposed to these rhinos in Congress. Really should have saved that rant for the Alan Nathan show, shouldn't I? That's the centrist show. We never made a claim that this was a centrist program. Anyway, though, folks, we got more Silker Joe show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
Looking for ways to save in today's housing market? For a limited time, Chase Home Lending is discounting interest rates on mortgages, including new home loans and refinances. This offer is available to all eligible homebuyers and homeowners nationwide who lock in their discounted rate now through Sunday, March 8th. During this offer period, you can access interest rate discounts that may help lower monthly payments, access equity, and make home ownership more affordable. You can also combine the rate sale with other Chase benefits for additional savings and lock in your rate for up to 90 days. Customers can get support via their mobile app, online, or in person at one of Chase's 5,000 branches nationwide. To learn more, visit chase.com/discount rate or connect with a local Chase Home Lending advisor, JPMorgan Chase N.A., member FDIC, and equal opportunity lender.
We actually went out and surveyed hiring managers from all over the country across different industries. And what they overwhelmingly, 84% of them told us, was that high school graduates today lack the necessary skills to be successful in the workplace. So we said, well, what is it? What are they missing? And what they told us is that it's critical thinking, it's problem solving, it's the ability to work together as a team, to communicate, a basic understanding of how business operates, all the way down to personal finance.
Parents should know that the pathway to success is not linear. Many students or parents are grappling with, should my kid go directly to a four-year, should they go to a two-year institution, should they go into the military, should they go directly into the workforce? And there are a lot more choices today that people are navigating. What I would say is ensure that your student is set up with the right knowledge and skills for success. For more information, you can go to uschamber.com or cb.org/career-ready.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ray Solano with an important tip to save you money on your prescriptions. Imagine affordable medication and programs that get rid of the root cause of chronic conditions such as elevated blood sugar, blood pressure, and difficulty remembering your keys or maybe even where your car is. PD Labs Pharmacy is a special compounding pharmacy providing service, solutions, and access to on-site trained telemedicine staff available to answer your questions. Today, many people have discovered personalized prescriptions tailored to you with powerful results such as feeling better. Check out our website, pdlabsrx.com. Our nationwide coverage in 26 years in pharmacy allows us to offer medications at almost half the price of local pharmacies. Switch your pharmacy to PD Labs and experience the real service without the expensive bill. Call us at 888-909-0110. That's 888-909-0110 or pdlabsrx.com. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Always a blast to be here with you all. We are joined for the segment now by Pastor Mark Bilt. He is founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He's lectured at congregations and conferences in 12 countries on 5 continents, and he's been on the cover of magazines and done numerous radio and TV interviews. He's also authored 4 bestsellers, with his latest being America at War, 2024 to 2026. We're in the final stage, and it looks like it's about to come to pass with Iran. Pastor Bilt, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's always great to be with you.
Yep, always glad to have you. So, seems that the situation with Iran is heating up, and I mean, there could be war by the time that this airs on Saturday, the day after it's recorded.
Oh, absolutely. I would not be surprised if there wasn't a major confrontation next week, sometime next week. I'm not saying what day next week, but everything is aligning. Literally, all the stars are aligning. There's a big planetary alignment. Then we have a total lunar eclipse on Purim, the day that Iran/Amalek attacks. So it'll be very interesting to see what unfolds this next week.
Man, making it sound like astrology is correct here. I mean, you know, Guy, I wonder how much of this is due to the lunar orbits and stuff. Because, I mean, they do. Actually, there was this one guy years ago. I'm just kind of really going off on a tangent with this one. But you know, years ago, someone found a successful way to predict earthquakes, more successful than any other method yet, that had to do with planetary alignments. And because it was so astrology adjacent, the scientific community trashed the dude. And you got to wonder if, you know, they can cause earthquakes, what can they cause in the minds of humans?
Well, the thing is, there's a world of difference between astrology and biblical astronomy. The way you know the difference, astrology is always about you. Biblical astronomy is always about God. The heavens declare the glories of God. And so for me, this is based not on astrology whatsoever, but on biblical astronomy.
Now, how exactly would that work then? What is biblical astronomy, I guess, is the question.
Well, God, in Genesis 1:14, said he purposely created the sun and the moon for signs. And the only signs they make are eclipses. And the nice thing, no false prophet can manipulate an eclipse. Plus, they speak to every language. Everyone has always thought eclipses had to do with the gods in the heavens. But there's been over 10,000 eclipses throughout 5,000 years of history. So the key is pinpointing which eclipses mean something, and they are the ones that fall on the biblical holidays. So it's a matter of science, because God is the ultimate astronomer, and he set everything up. So it's just a matter of knowing how to read them and when.
And the testimony to the effectiveness of this is, well, how your book has been pretty accurate. We're in the final year of its predictions. How have they gone so far?
Oh, exactly. I'm the only one in 2023 wrote Iran would attack Israel in April. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm the only one who had it in writing. And all these things that have been happening have been according to what I said. And talk about a civil war uprising. I talked about this November. You see all the ICE agents in Minnesota and all the civil uprising. That's going to be happening at every poll booth come this November, because there's no way the Democrats can allow Trump to go 2 more terms. And there's no way Trump is going to allow to be a lame duck or impeached. So it is going to be no holds barred with all kinds of riots coming up in the probably from July through August in November.
Yeah, that's not something to look forward to, but it is, unfortunately, I would have to concur with you on that point, because, I mean, last year, last April, when they're burning down Tesla facilities, and then you have Senator Chuck Schumer out there saying that refusing to condemn the terrorism, he was asked point blank if he would condemn such terrorism, and instead he condemned Elon Musk and, as if justifying the terrorism, and the Democrats are running scared of their extreme base like that, trying to run to the left, I guess, to keep from being the latest head that they'll claim. So, and we've seen how they now have martyrs to their cause, of course, after they assassinated Charlie Kirk, tried to assassinate ICE agents last year, and instead ended up killing illegal immigrants, and just the multiple attempts on Trump's life, we know that they're not only going to get more extreme.
Well, you can imagine if Trump has ICE agents around every voting booth, you know, that's going to prevent the illegals from wanting to come and vote. And so... right now, it's going to get crazy this summer and fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially, and you know, for those people out there who think that, you know, like, what was it, Michelle Obama, who said that if you vote for Democrats in 2020, the riots will stop. At this point, is that really possible? Have they gone so extreme that rioting is all they know? Even if they regain power, they still don't have the presidency, so they're still not going to get anything done. I mean, you had this one congressman out there who was promising that Trump would be prosecuted. I think it was Swalwell who promised that Trump would be prosecuted if they regain power and arrested. And he said, promised that people would be going to jail, but his exact words, going to jail. But Congress doesn't have that power, so what's going to happen when the voters aren't delivered the promises that they're made by their extreme politicians? They're still going to be mad.
Oh, of course, absolutely. But, I mean, the left, I don't think they could stand two more years of President Trump demolishing their, you know, fake votes and their radical agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly there's nothing that, you know, Democrats can say, oh, what did they defund ICE? Well, defund Homeland Security, but there's nothing really they can do to defund it all unless they want to shut down the government permanently, because they are not going to get a veto-proof majority. That's just not going to happen. The best they can do is get 50-50 split in the Senate, which then J.D. Vance will break. So, like, unless they can somehow get 49-51 in the Senate, then their agenda is going to be dead on arrival.
Right, right. So their goal is to win either the House or the Senate or both, and so we'll have to see what happens. They're going to try to do it by hook or crook.
Right. Yeah, and that's why, you know, they say Trump is deploying ICE to steal the elections. Trump is doing this to steal the elections. Trump is doing that to steal elections. You know, I could have sworn that 3 years ago, if you said someone was going to steal the elections, you were an insurrectionist.
And Democrats said, that's no way.
Yeah. Then again, also, I remember, what, back in January 6th of this year, they had a somber fifth anniversary for the massacre of Capitol Police that happened that day. And then the next day, suddenly police were the number one on the hit list because of what happened with Renee Good trying to run over an ISOP agent. And then now, you know, there's this one, was it the guest that Ilhan Omar brought to the State of the Union address was escorted out by Capitol Police, and now Capitol Police are the villains again.
Well, I think it's amazing how the left had this massive rally all over the United States over Renee Good, one they called innocent civilian, yet there wasn't one rally for the thousands of Israelis who were murdered innocently back on October 7th. How come the left didn't rally for 1,000 innocent people being murdered, but they will for one on their agenda?
Right. Well, you know, it's the same reason why that they're going after Israel, alleging that they've committed a genocide in response to an actual genocide, whereas they ignore everything China has done, to the point you have left-wing social media influencers praising China and talking about wanting to live there.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. We live in crazy times.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't have much sanity to look forward to, no matter how you vote. I mean, it's like, I guess that was one of the issues in 2020 where, you know, of course, there was major fraud, but some people, I feel, converted their votes to someone other than Trump because they just thought maybe we can get back to something that's more normal. But there really is no going back to whatever normal was before Trump, is there?
Well, that's why in my book, America at War, 2024 all the way through 2026, there's a lot more to come. And people need to be aware if they want to, you know what's going on.
Well, Pastor Biltz, if you can stick around for the next segment to talk about more about the future instead of what we've been going over with the setup for it, that would be terrific. And we'll also give you a chance at the opening of the next segment to tell us where to get a copy of your book. But listeners, we have more programming coming up to break, as well as where to get Pastor Biltz's book, America at War 2024 to 2026. So stick with us.
This wasn't random. Whoever did this wants to send a message.
He's preparing.
What's the flavor of psychopath we're dealing with here?
Someone who craves power and control.
Worship me. Your souls are ready.
That's a clip from season 2 of NBC's hit series, The Hunting Party, a crime procedural about a team of investigators who track down and capture the most dangerous killers the world has ever seen, all of whom have just escaped from the Pit, a top-secret government prison. On tonight's episode, multi-Emmy Award winner Kelsey Grammer guest stars as cult leader and serial killer Noah Cyrus. With the clock ticking, a former FBI profiler played by Melissa Roxburgh and and her team races to stop Cyrus's enigmatic plans, but soon discover that not everything is as it seems. Don't miss The Hunting Party, tonight at 10 p.m., 9 central on NBC.
Tooth pain is often dismissed or treated too late, but your oral health is deeply connected to your whole body wellness. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, shares more.
Many people ignore tooth pain, hoping it just goes away. But untreated infections can lead to increasing risk for heart disease and diabetes. Tooth pain should never be ignored. Many patients don't know there is a dental specialist qualified to diagnose and treat the most common causes of that pain.
Endodontists undergo 2 to 3 years of additional advanced specialty training focused on the inside of the tooth. They specialize in saving your natural teeth by helping you avoid unnecessary extractions.
That specialty care matters. Research suggests that resolving tooth infection through root canal therapy supports heart health and blood sugar management. By choosing an expert, you're prioritizing a healthy smile and a healthier you.
To learn more or to find an endodontist near you, visit AAE.org.
Volkswagen introduced a bold new ad campaign during the big game last Sunday, a reimagined version of the iconic Drivers Wanted. The new campaign invites a new generation to embrace individuality, curiosity, and saying yes when opportunity calls. Rachel Zaluzic, Volkswagen's SVP of Customer Experience and Brand Marketing.
Now is the perfect moment to remind our enthusiasts why they love Volkswagen and to welcome others to join in. Drivers Wanted is more than a message. It's an invitation to take the wheel and experience the freedom and fun on the road.
The commercial, a callback to the brand's popular Drivers Wanted ads from the 90s, reminds people that on the road of life, there are passengers and there are drivers. It's a nod to the original era of Drivers Wanted, reimagined for a new audience with the same spirit and energy. To view the campaign film, The Great Invitation, and maybe find yourself in a Volkswagen of your own, visit VW.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay. Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all today. And we are still joined by Pastor Mark Biltz, founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He's lectured at congregations and conferences in 12 countries on 5 continents. He's been on the cover of magazines and done numerous radio and TV interviews and is author of 4 bestsellers, with his latest book being America at War 2024 to 2026. Pastor Biltz, appreciate you sticking with us. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. To be with you. This is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, exciting. We're looking at a war with Iran, but your predictions, though, in your book outlined seem to be coming true. What can we expect here?
Well, I think there is, again, I'm not a prophet. I jokingly say we're a nonprofit ministry. But I'd say there's a real high probability we're going to see a major confrontation over this next week, whether it's with Israel and Iran or the United States and Iran or U.S. and Israel and Iran. Something is going to be unfolding. But it all goes back to biblical prophecy. That's what's amazing. When people understand, like I ask Christians if they're supposed to know the times and seasons, they all say yes. And I say, what time is it? Oh, I don't know. What season is it? I don't know. So one of the things I talk about in America at War is knowing what time it is on God's calendar.
Now, when was your book published? I'm curious about that.
I wrote it in the fall of 2023, and it was published in January of 2024, and the attack happened. October 7th was 2023. Right. And then I wrote the book right after that. And then it came out in January, and then April is when Iran attacked, like I said they would.
Mm. Wow. So when you say know the seasons, know the time of years, what exactly are you referring to with that, especially for people like me who aren't as up on biblical scholarship as they should be, or audience members who, you know, maybe are atheists or something?
The English, where it says seasons, it doesn't mean seasons. So we always think winter, spring, summer, or fall. It actually means for an appointed time, like God has a designated time in history when he's going to have an event happen. And then when it says days and years, he's not referring to 2022 or something. He's referring to the Shemitah year, the seventh year of the Jubilee cycle. He's referring to the Jubilee year, the 50th year. And the days refer to the biblical holidays. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding that. And so when you see these signs in the heavens on the biblical holidays, such as in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, there were eclipses, solar and lunar, surrounding the whole destruction of the temple in 70 AD. They came back in 1492 when the Jews were kicked out of Spain. They came back in 1948 when Israel became a nation. These eclipses came back in 67 for the Seven-Day War. Okay, so the eclipses, I've shown the scientific mathematical patterns with the biblical eclipse and historical events with Israel, all in the same book.
That's amazing. And, you know, just so few people seem to be so deeply involved as to do any kind of research in that as well. And even religious scholars, I think you've tapped a line here that has gone rather unnoticed.
Well, absolutely, because the Yom Kippur War, as you know, happened on Yom Kippur. Well, guess what? You can only proclaim the year of Jubilee on Yom Kippur, and that was the very opening shot of the year of Jubilee. Yom Kippur, the first day of the year of Jubilee, began with a war. 50 years later, 2023, the October 7th massacre was the last day of the same Jubilee year, 50 years later. So here we have a biblical Jubilee bookended by wars, the first day and the very last day, and they both were foretold by eclipses in the heavens.
That's pretty incredible, the accuracy of this prophecy, too. But then again, we're talking about the Christian Bible here and the Jewish Old Testament as well. So, you know, it's not like, you know, you're talking about your average everyday earth man predicting these things, are we?
Exactly right. The odds are literally astronomical. And this is why people, they don't, I'm surprised how they don't see the math and the science with the Bible, how it's all coordinated. Only God could determine 6,000 years ago when the eclipses would occur on these particular dates.
Mm-hmm. And so going forward then, is it just dates of misery and woe, or what can we look forward to?
Funny you said that, Joe. The thing is this, a lot of people think we're not supposed to know when tribulation or the Lord returns, but we can know if we know the times and seasons. The way you know when a Shemitah year is, or a seventh year is, when the land was to rest and there would be an economic reset, is if the Hebrew year is divisible by seven. It's that simple. If it's divisible by 49, the next year is the Jubilee year. Now, I don't know how much you know about Daniel's prophecy and Daniel's 70 weeks, it's called, but they're weeks of years. And all the Christians say there's 1 week of 7 years left. Well, that's not any random 7 years. That has to be a Shemitah week. And the next Shemitah week, in other words, the tribulation could potentially begin in the fall of 2029. So we have about 4 years until the tribulation could begin. But if it, I'm not saying it will begin, though, for all those that freak out. What I'm saying is if it doesn't begin in 4 years, it can't begin until 7 years later. So the tribulation has to begin the beginning of a seven-year Shemitah cycle.
Hmm. Yeah, so you know, it's interesting too. Now, can these every time I hear Bible prophecy, Bible prediction, I'm going thinking back to like the History Channel doing their Bible code shows. It's always doom and gloom. It's always, you know, this is going to happen. Yeah. All these disasters are going to happen. And, you know, you're talking about tribulation. That certainly doesn't sound fun.
But the main thing is just like if you have a hurricane coming, you want to know, you know, don't hide it from me. So for me, I think this is going to be the Super Bowl of human history. It's like, put me in the game, coach. I've almost died so many times, Joe. I've had guns at my head twice. Airplane accidents. I've been in, you know, almost eaten by lions in South Africa. Hey, if it's not my time, it's not going to happen. And so for me, I just am exuberant about life because it's not about me.
That's a very positive attitude to maintain about all of this. I was just actually going to ask, is there anything, you know, hopeful to look forward to, I guess, because, you know, like I said, there's this negative connotation here, negative association with biblical prophecy. There's hope in there. God always has hope.
Exactly. You are so right on. That's the thing. It's the hope of no more Democrats and no more Republicans. We have a hope of the Lord himself governing on earth.
Yeah. And I just come after a very, very trying time in our history. And, now, it doesn't have to be in 2029. It doesn't have to be in 2036. It doesn't have to be in 2043. There's not
exactly.
really a deadline
Who
right
knows?
There. Yeah, you can just guess one of those years, but you know, no telling which
exactly.
one. And that's perhaps what's meant in the Bible by, you know, you're not going to know the time or place.
Right. Exactly. I think we're to know the time and the season, but we don't know. Just like winter comes every year. We may know ho, ho, ho is in December, but we don't know what year he's going to ho, ho.
Mm-hmm. Santa Claus bringing in biblical biblical prophecies to prohibition. That's a funny image there. But, well, that's something to look forward to in 2029, though. But, I mean, the question is, will we make it there as a country, or will we have been torn apart by civil strife before then? Because as we were talking about in the previous segment, you know, we have, you know, this increasingly desperate group of folks in this country. And, I mean, if the midterm elections don't go the way somehow, then we're in for a really rough ride till 2029. Because also we got the 2028 elections, too. If that doesn't go the way people want it to.
That's the point. Exactly. We are in for a rough road, but I think it says in Daniel, those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. So I'm really looking forward to that part.
So when did you first decide to get into this line of research about these seasonal cycles here and decide to publish this book, America at War 2024? Well, I mean, decide to write it, I should say.
Yeah. Well, 30 years ago. Is when I've been, gotten, I'm 70 years old, believe it or not. And 30 years ago is when I jumped into this. And then 20 years ago, I got more deeper. And 15 years ago is when I wrote the book on the solar lunar eclipses back in 2014. And as everything's been unfolding exactly prophetically as it says. So, I've spoken in 25 nations now, not just 12. I've spoken in 25 nations. I'm going to 5 nations just this year alone. But everyone around the world is very interested in understanding biblical prophecy.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, the History Channel felt the need 25 years ago now to do a documentary on this sort of thing, and also Nostradamus. Everybody likes prophecy of some kind, I suppose,
yeah.
But, you know, this is quite different since it's coming from a different source than what Nostradamus was divining from, and you seem to have cracked a different code than what that Bible code is, which, you know, looked more like a crossword puzzle, or not a crossword puzzle, a word search than anything else.
Yeah, I like to stay with my feet on the ground, be it astronomically, mathematically, scientifically, and biblically. I just weave them all together.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and so you have America at War 2024 to 2026, The Sons of Light versus the Sons of Darkness.
Exactly.
It is available on your website, esm.com. music.us, and I was about to ask a question about it, but that music means that we don't have enough time for you to answer.
Yeah.
So, Pastor Mark Bilds, appreciate you being on the show. And again, listeners, if you're interested in this book, it's entitled America at War 2024 to 2026, and it can be found at esm.us/product. So, something worth to check out. And we have more Silk or Joe Show for you to check out on after this break. Not on the break, after the break.
Registered dietitian Jillian Barkum says new data reveals that diets high in protein and fiber could potentially help those on GLP-1 medications.
Atkins recently worked with researchers on a pilot clinical trial and discovered that following Atkins makes it easy to get more protein and fiber without exacerbating stomach discomfort. And while more research is warranted, there was a trend for people on Atkins to lose less muscle while losing weight, possibly due to eating more protein, slower weight loss, or other dietary factors. The Atkins High Protein Layered Bars and the Atkins High Protein Shakes are delicious ways to get the protein and fiber you need when you may not have an appetite. The bars have 15 grams of protein and fiber with soft and crispy layers and deliciously fun flavors. The shakes are packed with 30 grams of protein and 7 grams of prebiotic fiber. They're also gluten-free, low glycemic, and taste delicious.
To learn more, visit Atkins.com.
As game day approaches, hosts are looking for food that's ready when they are. Snacks to go from freezer to table in minutes so no one misses a big play. Chef Jamie Gwen has more.
Game day food should feel familiar and easy. You want snacks you can keep stocked in your freezer and cook fresh when guests arrive or halftime hits. That way, everything comes out hot, crispy, and ready to enjoy without spending the whole game in the kitchen.
That mindset is shaping how hosts plan for the big game, with more people choosing crowd-friendly snacks and appetizers that you can prepare quickly.
With Farm Rich, it's easy to serve fan favorites everyone loves, like breaded mozzarella sticks made in the air fryer, loaded potato skins served with your favorite dips, and jalapeno peppers wrapped in bacon. It's simple, recognizable food that always disappears fast.
Find Farm Rich near you at farmrich.com and follow them on social at Farm Rich Snacks for game day recipe ideas. Happy hosting!
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here today. So perhaps President Trump might be disagreeing with our previous guest in this clip. If we could have clip number one, please.
Our nation is back, bigger, better, richer, and stronger than ever before. Less than 5 months from now, our country will celebrate an epic milestone in American history, the 250th anniversary of our glorious American independence. This July 4th, we will mark 2.5 centuries of liberty and triumph, progress and freedom in the most incredible and exceptional nation ever to exist on the face of the earth. And you've seen nothing yet. We're going to do better and better and better. This is the golden age of America.
So that was President Trump at the State of the Union address. And going back to what we were discussing about the doom and gloom for not just long-term, but short-term in the previous segments about the lack of confidence in Democrat maturity at accepting any kind of defeat or victory at this point. They're saying everyone's going to go to jail. Everyone who's a Republican's going to go to jail if we get elected, which is, you know, a great rallying cry for their party, but rather concerning for any of us. But then again, I'm sitting in Virginia. We already put in a state attorney general who said they want to kill Republicans. So, and not just kill them blindly, but kill them to advance the left-wing agenda and kill their children. And probably their little dog, too. But that's more of the ATF's thing than the state attorney general's thing. So, yeah, Democrats are off the rails. And that is what this guy, by the way, is what they consider to be a moderate. Someone who goes around threatening to saying that he wants to murder children and police officers to advance a political agenda. Democrats think that that is being a moderate. And also somehow think that he can do affordability because the attorney general campaigned on affordability too. All the Democrats in Virginia campaigned on that. But then we saw the taxes that they wanted to introduce, which especially would have hurt Democrat voters in the cities. So, and they don't care, though. They are just rabid anti-Trump. They really don't care what their side does to them. They think Trump is a bigger threat because they've been told to, and they don't have any kind of critical thinking on their part. Sure, you get professors and scientists and business leaders and learned people, and everyone has a degree, but their education seems to be lacking in anything because of all the stories that they've bought into, all the lies that they've bought into. So they are, and the more that they have to confront the reality that they're in the wrong, the more that they confront the reality that they are out of power, the more violent they are going to get because the more dangerous they will perceive you as being. And it's not going to stop even when they get reelected at this point. I mean, we saw already under the Biden administration, what did the rioting really stop everywhere? There was still stuff going on in Portland. The news just stopped covering it. And there was still attacks on Trump supporters by rioters and Antifa. Democrats just refused to prosecute and refused to acknowledge any such thing was happening. There was a crisis pregnancy center that was firebombed, and the Democrats in charge, they decided to investigate the crisis pregnancy center for existing. Meanwhile, you have all this voter fraud going on. You have a terrorist attack, but they investigate the victim. And they don't investigate the fraud or anything like that that their own side is doing that we're finding out in Minnesota. You think that just came up when Trump took office? No, that's been going on for years. Democrats just didn't care. It was their fraud. What do they care? And what do their voters care? Their voters do not care what their side does. You know, for example, I go out and I condemn President Trump for his pardons, right? Democrats don't give a whit about Biden's pardons, all the nasty that were far, far worse than Trump. In fact, they try to say, oh, well, Trump is actually worse than Biden. No, he's not. There's like three or four of his pardons that are questionable. Nothing with Biden was unquestionable. Nothing with Biden was above scrutiny, okay? But they'll tell you otherwise. And they'll say his presidency was, you know, it wasn't perfect, but he didn't do what I wanted him to do. But he had no scandals. He had no corruption. He was perfect. All Democrats are innocent, even when they are fraudulent. All that fraud that they're benefiting from in Minnesota, that's legitimate. But if a Republican did it, it'd be illegitimate. You know, that's their kind of mentality, all right? So that you think those kinds of people are just going to suddenly become moderates just when they win an election? Remember, they won in 2020, right? By hook or by crook, they won in 2020. Yet at the beginning of 2022, there was a poll saying that they wanted to basically put a political opponents in concentration camps, the unvaccinated. And they considered Republicans to be the ignorant unvaccinated. So you can't untie, untether political opposition from the people that they wanted to, from people that Democrats wanted to put into concentration camps. They use being unvaccinated as the excuse, but we've been seeing this extremism against Republicans build up for years at that point. And anyone remember 2016 when they're talking about gulags and stuff like that for political opponents on the Bernie Sanders campaign? You think those people just went away? They metastasized in the Democrat Party, and the party became more extreme. And we saw that in how they governed, throwing everything they could at Trump, figuring, I guess, that if they could just imprison Trump somehow, then, you know, that one victory would be symbolic, and then they could go after everyone else. But first, they got to go after the head. And Trump is the head of the Republican Party. And that is also why you have those Republicans in name only in Congress, like Mitch McConnell, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, that group that doesn't want to do the SAVE Act. They wanted to be the heads of the Republican Party. They wanted to be the decision makers. They don't like having their authority taken away. They see Trump as a flash in the pan, and they can afford to wait. As old as they are, they've been around for years, for decades. Their corruption is extensive and extends into the future as well. They're long-term planners. They know Trump can't run again unless some kind of law is passed, which would have to go through them, which it won't. So they know that their corruption is secure after Trump. So if they lose the midterms right now, they know their jobs are secure. Look at how long they've had those jobs. They know that they have job security, like I said in the opening segment. They're long-term planners. They don't care how they screw you over. They care about themselves. That's it. And they're trying to retake the reins from Trump. But the liberal voting base, they're not going to wait that long, it doesn't seem. Maybe they don't trust that the Republican Party will throw the midterm election. Even if they do, what does it matter? And, of course, these moderate Republicans, these rhinos, they're going to be exempt from anything that the Democrats do in their vengeance. Except for maybe their voting base, which has targeted Mitch McConnell's house before, has staged demonstrations outside of that. But he's not really considering that because, you know, he's an old man. This is all sort of unprecedented. Or maybe he just feels he has enough wealth to fly away to his cronies in Russia or China or wherever he's been getting bribed from. Both sides think he's getting bribed from the other side. Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning into this edition of Silk or Joe Show. Not quite ending on a positive note with how corrupt our leaders are and how much chaos we can expect in the streets, but, well, that's politics, I guess. Anyway, though, our websites are MainStreetMediaNetwork.com and AlanNathan.com if you want to check out more about the Alan Nathan Show and the late, great Alan Nathan, because I do host his show several times a week. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-978-0600 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.